Michelle, we live in a big, crazy, beautiful world. We're super late for this podcast, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
There's a hunger in my heart, a hunger in my soul for you. And it grows, and it grows, and it feeds me like it's never fed me before.
When I went on a trip this week that just passed, and I went to this place called Lancaster, California, and Lancaster's in the high desert, about an hour north of Los Angeles, and I stayed in the fabulous Motel 6, Michelle, with $2.99 internet.
Did you really?
And the internet works at like 1 mile an hour, or whatever the slowest possible measurement of internet speed is. Where if you try to send an email with like a photo in it, it would take 4 minutes to send.
Well, now you know how I feel.
And then it went 70 miles away, and I went to Los Angeles, and I stayed at the Hyatt Regency Orange County, which is like a block away from Disneyland.
Right.
And I had the fastest internet in the world and the most beautiful, sunny, beautiful weather and palm trees and like cobblestone driveway out in front and just out a world away in less than, you know, 100 miles, 110 miles, whatever, 70 miles, I can't remember. But so close and yet so far.
But which one are you going to remember?
So the internet, the reason I didn't do the podcast is we had the internet after like a Thursday, Friday, and I was like super busy with work. And so I could have easily done the podcast from there. Could have watched on my laptop, could have produced the podcast over Skype, but couldn't do it from the high desert. So that's why we're late. I remember it all. It's all equally crazy.
Yeah. I mean, experiences are fun, even if they're not maybe the most opulent sometimes.
That wasn't fun. It was way more fun to be in a nice place.
Was it?
Isn't it crazy?
I don't know.
All right, Michelle. Well, this is the podcast, finally, for The Affair. Affair number 207. It's Thanksgiving time.
Yeah, it is.
My name is Mike. Who are you?
I'm Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Mike.
So, do you have any overall thoughts about this one before we jump into it?
I really liked it. I stand by all of my crazy projections from before.
You stand by your affair?
I stand by it. Yep.
All right, Michelle. Well, this is a Thanksgiving version of The Affair. The Thanksgiving plus time jumps.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So part one is Allison. Allison is uncomfortable. We're starting the podcast now. Just jumping in.
Okay.
Allison's super uncomfortable at a party. It's at the editor's place. She bounces her way through the crowd. And even Noah's a little awkward with all the back slaps he's getting from people. But Allison's super uncomfortable. She has to tell people she's just a mother. She still hasn't read the book, which is odd. I don't know if that's Noah's rule or she doesn't want to.
Well, she's telling people she hadn't read the book.
But what was the reasoning?
Why is she telling people that?
Yeah, well,
I guess just because she doesn't want to answer questions about
I know, but
herself.
What's the reason? Like, I haven't read the book yet because I don't want to know the story.
She said he has enough critics. And, I mean, that's a cutesy way of just kind of throwing it off. You know, really it's not anybody's business if she's read it or not. I mean, you know, they're just trying to make conversation with her, I assume, or trying to get on a deeper level to figure out what she thinks about all this stuff that he's written about her. Well, and we come to find out she has some pretty strong feelings about it.
So there's a couple hotties on Noah's publishing team. One is Denise and one is Eden. And I can't remember which one is which, but I think the hot one is Denise, this woman who rushes in, or she's just a fan or something. She says, oh, please give me a 30 seconds with Noah, a real pretty lady that Allison's continually trying to drag Noah out of this back to home for Thanksgiving.
Well, Eden is the one, I think, who ends up at their house later on, if that
right.
helps you.
Yeah, but who's okay. this Denise? Who's this first one? Who's this hot lady that she's the first hottie that we see in this whole thing?
Yeah, I don't remember her specifically.
Not the first time a hottie has slipped through your podcasting grasp, Michelle.
Sorry.
They never escape my evil grasp.
Never they do. I know.
All right, another woman rushes up and befriends her, in my air quotes, befriends her. But this is Cynthia, the gossip bitch. She's just there to get dope on people.
Yeah.
And they talk about her feed. She sees Allison, like, kicking her shoe off a little bit. And they kind of she befriends her to get her to lower her defenses. And it was interesting while she's talking to Allison that Allison got an odd alert or some sort of an awareness to this woman about something not being right. Did you notice what it was?
I didn't notice specifically. Well, yeah, because she's asking her, are you his wife? And she said, no, I'm his fiance. First of all, she's pretty pregnant looking to be 4 months pregnant, right? I mean, that's pretty pregnant looking. And so she's asking her about her relationship with Noah. You know, she's like, oh, who are you here with? Of course she knew. And she says, Noah Soloway. And she says, oh, are you his wife? No, I'm his fiance. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. But in the book jacket, it said he lived in, I think she said, Queens with his wife and 4 children. And this is when, you know, I think Allison starts feeling like she's maybe prying a little bit. And she goes, yeah, they're going to reprint that. That was a mistake. They took it from his first book. And in the second printing, it's going to say something different. And then she starts asking, you know, other things. Well, do you know if he's divorced yet? I mean, that's some pretty prying questions for the first 30 seconds you've ever met anybody. So I didn't blame her.
Maybe, but not if you're talking about that. I mean, I bought this Cynthia. She would have gotten me to keep talking, I think. I didn't get the defensiveness, like the warning signs that Allison got here.
Oh, no way. No, I wouldn't have. No, I would have shut down on her as quickly as Allison did or before.
All right, so Eden rushes in now, the other woman's to save her. She's like, Cynthia, really? And I think that's Eden who comes in.
Yeah,
she's the personal
mm-hmm.
assistant of Noah.
Right.
And personal assistant also has air quotes around it, just for the record. And Allison retreats to the kitchen, Michelle, and she meets this other woman in the kitchen who is really real. The girl in the kitchen is pretty real, and she makes it real. Because Allison kind of says, you know, hey, I'm here with my fiance about a book, and you know, did you read the book? And this woman just says, look, dude, I work all the time to support my kids. I don't even have time to read.
Right.
That's a whole, I mean, Allison kind of knew that world in Montauk.
Right.
She's been transported to this new world.
Sure.
But she brings it down to reality, I think, here in the higher echelon of society here that this party's being held at.
Right.
Now, Noah, back to Noah. Noah's, again, a doofus here. Noah's schedule's being disrupted by a storm coming in, and he has to, like, cut everything short and jump on a plane and go somewhere before the Northeaster comes in. But you know what, Michelle? Here I sense an argument coming between you and me here, because I agree with letting Noah eschew Thanksgiving and work his network here. I agree with him not going off to rush off to Thanksgiving dinner at home and rush around and do the book promotion.
Okay. I'm going to say this. I think the way the scene was set up is that they had agreed on something ahead of time, and Allison wanted to keep what they had agreed upon ahead of time. If they had said ahead of time, we're going to Harry's apartment, we're going to watch the Macy's Thanksgiving parade from the window, I'm going to be schmoozing the whole time, and I don't know how long I'm going to be there. Anything you want to take care of other than that, you can go on and take care of it. That would have been one thing. But the fact that he had said he was going to leave by all, you know, by the way it showed us, then I feel like that was wrong.
What about the nor'easter blowing in?
All that was he's going to have to leave tonight in place of in the morning. And he could have still had Thanksgiving dinner with his family, meaning the family I'm talking about now, of course, is Allison and the people she's invited over, and then left. And I mean, that's fine.
What about the Philip Roths and the other principal writers at the party who show up kind of unexpectedly and they want to talk to Noah and meet him? And all, what about all these things you don't plan on that could really help your career that you have to give up a holiday for?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to give it up to a certain point, but I will say this. I think the people who are most respected as people are people who respect their families. And if people see that they can pull you so easily away from your other obligations, they automatically kind of don't respect you because of that. And it's a family holiday, and he had previous plans, and of course you go say hello, and of course Allison shouldn't be such a, you know, stickler about this minute right here, but there has to be some boundaries, and the promises that he made to Allison should mean as much as anything else in this circumstance, I think.
Yeah, I knew this was going to be a battle.
Okay.
Allison's mother is stuck in the apartment lobby of Allison and Noah's apartment because the guy won't let her up.
Well, why couldn't they have told her?
She looks like a person you would want to keep out of your apartment.
Yeah, but though. Why didn't they tell the doorman? I know.
And then Allison says, "Yeah, you know, besides her, there's a bunch of other people, so just let them all up." And he's like, mm-hmm. "Okay." He like cavalierly just accepts the unknown quantity of other group of people and stops poor old Athena right in her tracks.
Yep.
Athena made herself pretty comfortable on that little bench though. She was plumped down right there. She just plopped herself down.
She did.
But they go up and see their first. This is the first real-time affluence. I think we've seen some futuristic hints of it, but this is this future flash forwards. But this is the real-time affluence of Noah and Allison.
It's brand new, right? Because there was still some packing boxes. I think I saw.
Looks like it. They're just moved in. Athena jumps right on the couch and suede couch and puts her shoes all over it.
Oh, I know. I couldn't stand. Did that bother you too?
No, it wouldn't bother me, but it was just like, come on. Your first time here, nobody's probably even sat on that couch yet.
No, you need to at least be there three times before you put dirty shoes on a couch.
Big old Doc Martens from the hippie. Dirt.
Okay. I like some Doc Martens.
So. She gets a tour of the rooms that are never going to be used by any of those kids. Especially Whitney.
Well, the younger kids are coming.
Yeah, sure they are.
Well, they supposedly already have.
All right, and the nursery is Noah's office. So the message here is that everything Allison needs and wants is secondary to Noah, including the getting away on time from the writers' meeting and the party and the office being the nursery when the nursery is probably the first thing as a priority to Allison. Noah's like in first place in everything in her life. Right? That's the message.
Sure. And that Noah is a jerk. He's just a jerk.
Oh, come on, Michelle.
Don't even. He is so caught up in himself that he's turning into one of these characters that is just reprehensible. I mean, I can barely watch him.
I cannot sit here and let you badmouth Noah Soloway,
Mike.
Michelle.
I know you think the same thing.
Yeah, he's an ass.
He's horrible. He's horrible.
Athena gives Allison an old witch's cookbook. And she's pretty mad that they're getting a pre-cooked turkey.
A witch's cookbook?
Yeah, it's an old witchy cookbook. Come on. It's got like...
It's her grandmother's.
Yeah, well, Athena's.
It's her grandmother's.
Yeah,
it's a
Athena's
grandmother's
a product of her grandmother, right?
Oh, come on. No, that's great. That is wonderful. Can you imagine the memories you'd have cooking that same food? That's,
yeah, you know it's got like Eye of Newt and stuff in it. Anyway, she's mad they're getting a pre-cooked turkey. These are some pretty, I gotta admit, I could see why some people would be mad. We're gonna cook everything from scratch, but these are pretty first world problems. You're getting a pre-cooked turkey from the Supreme Deli that makes probably food better than we could ever make it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I can't say a word. I always buy the meat from Honey Baked. Always. Every Thanksgiving. I cook everything else from scratch, but the meat comes from Honey Baked, so Athena would be on me, too. I can't cook it as good. I've tried, and I'm a pretty good cook, but I that's what I like.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. All right, Noah's still missing in action, and Athena is drinking it up. She's even offering Allison a drink. She tells her she drank when she was pregnant with her. Yeah. What the hell? Have a couple glasses of wine. And they talk about Noah getting money from his ex. And Athena's prying here. Are you getting money? Is Noah getting money? Well, who's paying for all this? Are you paying for any of it? Did you sell your house to get any of this going? And Athena tells her a little story about the house. You know, your house is the only thing in the world that you have of value. And then she reveals that she made her mother give Allison the house bypassing her in the will.
Right.
Bypassing herself. And telling Allison it was this all the security that I could ever give to you. Pretty cool thing of old Athena there.
It really was. It really was. And you can understand then kind of what all this prying was about, because she did have, you know, a dog in the fight, so to speak. I mean, it wasn't just that Athena was cut out. This is what Athena had wanted for her daughter, so her daughter would have the security that she never would have and would never be able to give her. And then Allison is just throwing it away, essentially, on Noah.
And this is news to Allison. She did not know that this had come directly from Grandma with Athena's direction. She thought Grandma just did it.
Right.
Of her own volition.
Right.
We also learn that Athena knows that Allison hasn't read the book. And also that the house, in fact, has been sold for this. That's in escrow. It's too late to undo any of that.
Oh, I know. And Allison's saying, why shouldn't I pay for part of this? This is my home now. And I don't know. What do you think?
I don't think Allison should pay for a super duper apartment like that.
Well, she's paying for this apartment, essentially this big, big apartment, or whoever is, because Noah's got these other children from the woman he's still married to that need a space to be. That's Noah's responsibility.
Yeah, Noah's like a rolling cannon on the deck of a ship. I mean, what's he going to do with this hot Eden chick now and these other women in his life that now he's a big-time writer? He's got temptations all around him. He's still married, right?
Sure.
He's still, I don't know. He's an unresolved problem, and he's not really totally committed yet to Allison that I can see.
Well, no, not at all. And I even said before, I said, I think he's trying to get Allison's money. I think we even might have, you know, had a little conversation about that. And I still do. I still think the fact that she had that house, because it elevates him.
Because it's a higher floor?
Well, yeah. Yeah, because of the.
All right, Allison takes a shower. I don't know why they showed her in the shower, but she takes a shower, and then that was it. She's out of the shower. And
yeah, what do you do? What do you do there? Do you get up in the morning, and you get all cleaned up to go to this fancy schmancy party, right? And then you come home, and they were cooking, but, I mean, they're making pies and stuff. You didn't see any heavy lifting and stuff like that. They made pies, and they had, what, a salad and some potatoes or something? And she has to shower after she's done
Sometimes
that?
People just take a shower to relax, though.
They do, but, I mean, she's all made up. And, okay, she was rushing Noah to leave because they had no time, right? But she's made up. She's got her hair done. She has makeup on, which takes time to do. Let's be real. And so she's going to go home, but she wants Noah to leave in time for her to get all this other stuff done, plus take a shower and get cleaned up again. I didn't understand that, other than the fact I saw no reason why they showed that shower scene. Like you said, I mean, that was ridiculous. It was almost just like an opportunity to show her naked, and they didn't, but kind of. I mean, I can't figure out what that was even put in there for. It made no sense, other than it made her look like she was rushing Noah unnecessarily.
Yeah, I don't think she was rushing Noah unnecessarily. She may have just been resigned to, like, oh, well, this day's been shot to hell. I might as well just feel better. I'll take a shower. I don't know. Her feet were hurting her. She was uncomfortable at that party. It might have been just a relaxation thing. I don't think it was I'm all grimy from being at a party and cooking. I think it's just relaxation. So yeah, she comes out. Jane shows up, and Jane looks great, man. Nicolette Robinson again. She's back, and she looks really, really good in this scene.
She does, I know.
And now they're talking about Max, the sugar daddy.
What? How did that happen? Jane, run. Run, Jane. How did that happen?
Yeah, Allison tries to warn her off even. But she kind of warns
her. Allison set her up with him.
She warns her off and sets her up, too. Like, he's hot and rich, but he's obnoxious. So get drunk, because he's going to be a pain to talk to. But all Jane cares about is if he's a Republican and a racist.
Yep, that's it.
And Jane also asks Allison if she's been to Montauk since she left, and she says no. Allison says no. Was that a lie?
Yeah, it was a lie.
Trying to think.
Of course it is. Yeah, she was there with Cole, remember?
Yeah, okay. Just checking. Jeez, slow your roll. All right, Max shows up, and it looks like Allison's just hostessing on this blind date. But it turns out to be that's the big Thanksgiving deal, that Max is... I mean, do you set up a blind date on your Thanksgiving dinner?
Why not?
All right, well, that's what it is. But Athena's there, and she's cock-blocking drunk Jane left and right. Get your tongue back in your mouth, girl.
Well, I mean, okay, but, you know... I mean, she's known Max for how long? Let's do slow down just a little bit, and it's Max. So.
At least 45 minutes.
Yeah, let's slow down even a little bit more. So.
Still no sign of Noah, Michelle, and Allison's the only one not drinking. That had to be horrendous for her. She's already been to one party she hated. Now she's at home. She can't drink, and these other people are having a great time. At least she got to take a shower, I guess. They all listen to the baby. But she can't hear the baby's heartbeat.
No, it scares her. But did you notice Jane's face, Nicolette Robinson's face, when they were doing that? That was so perfect. It was perfect. They were listening, and she just had this look on her face that was, it's exactly the look that so many women get when you get to hear that, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just, it was a great, great look.
I'm trying to remember from our interview, I don't think Nicolette is a mom in real life yet either.
I'm thinking that's what I remember too.
So I think she could easily, or not easily, she could genuinely produce that response, like, wow, that must be really cool having a first baby.
Yeah,
not from
it was
memory,
great.
But from kind of anticipation or from just thinking about it.
Sure.
Anyway, it's cool to see her again. Still no Noah. They all listen to the baby, and Athena finally finds the baby's heartbeat for Allison to get a feel for it and listen to it. And it's a goddamn submarine diesel engine by the time she finds it, the way that they portray that heartbeat. Sounds like the old Run Silent, Run Deep movies where they're dropping depth charges on a submarine and you hear the engine of the submarine.
Jeez, my what a comparison.
I don't think a heartbeat sounds like that.
It does, though. There's a lot of like ambient noise when you're listening with a stethoscope sometimes, and so you'll hear that. The only thing that they didn't show you here in a lot of times is like your stomach gurgling, because stomach gurgles all the time almost if you're listening with a stethoscope. It's just normal bowel sounds. And so they didn't show any of that. I was waiting on that because, but you do, you hear all this kind of whooshy sound and then the heartbeat. And it was pretty fast and pretty accurate sounding.
I didn't mind the whooshy sound. It just that they made that thing sound like a diesel engine cranking away. But anyway, Noah finally shows up with Eden now because Eden has nowhere else to go. And here's Noah. This is a mistake by Noah. She's like, dude, you gotta go to a bar and have a drink or something, and then go home. I can't drag you into my family thing. And he's forgotten the turkey. He becomes an ass really. I mean, I excused him in the first half of this. I won't excuse this shit. He's forgotten the turkey. He's coming home with a hot girl who all she can do is listen to her texts and watch her phone. You gotta put the phone away.
And she's not very respectful to Allison, and she hasn't been from the beginning. She's not even very nice to her. And she's, I think you called her a personal assistant. I think she's the publisher, right? Or one of the publishers. I think that's what I had written down.
Well, she probably works for the publishing company to keep everything on track.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she's one of the editor's assistants connected to the publishing company.
Okay.
She's like a scheduler. She makes sure he gets to the right meeting on time and gets out to the other city to do the press junkets and all that.
Okay.
So Noah listens to the heartbeat, then it's Eden's turn, and then Max's turn, and then the bellhop listens to it.
No,
just kidding. But just Noah listens to the heartbeat. And Noah's totally unimpressed by this diesel heartbeat.
And what did he say? He goes, he says, it gets me every time. So, I mean, it's like nothing special to him that it's with Allison, you know? Nothing, this... I don't know. That was a horrible thing to say.
Right. Again, it's the theme of Allison not being first in line for anything. It's all other people and other things more important than her, and including this, the birth of their baby.
Right.
But spoiler alert, might not be the birth of their baby.
Yep. I've never thought it was. Well, I haven't for a while.
Okay, well, let's continue in the theme of Allison not being important, Michelle.
Okay.
So at dinner, Noah calls his other family and talks to everybody at the dinner table.
No, I don't think he called them. I think Helen called him because Whitney was missing.
Okay, well, he's talking to his other family.
Right, and then he asked to speak to the other
kids.
Can't
you pick up, can't you say, excuse me, and walk into the kitchen? Do you have to have a conversation with your other family in front of your other family?
Oh, I know. Yep.
While Eden, meanwhile, is texting away at her spot at the dinner table. all right, and Allison explains that the... Allison explains that the meal was made from the witch's cookbook, from Granny's cookbook in 1927, that Granny wrote that cookbook. I guess it was a book. She made a book
yes.
in 1927. Pretty good.
Granny had a cookbook. I'm impressed.
Jane and Max are civil. They're still civil, but they're pretty drunk. They're getting pretty amped up here. And Max makes a toast.
Well, he tries.
To new friends and old men. Now, Max and Helen are done at this point, Michelle?
He comes back in the middle of his toast.
No, Max and Helen being a thing.
Oh, they're still married.
Max and Helen.
Oh, Max and Helen. Oh, sorry. Yes. Max and Helen, remember? Yeah, she's put him out.
All right, because Max makes a comment, if I know anything about Helen, and he knows a lot about Helen.
Yeah, which is really ugly of him to say, right?
Yeah. Eden then expresses that they all have to leave by 9 o'clock, or that she and Noah have to leave by 9 o'clock. Just really all, just timing is spectacularly bad here at somebody else's dinner. I mean, either do the thing on your junket for making the book work or don't do it. Don't come to the frickin' family dinner and then interject more. That's even, that's like a knife in the wound that's already existing.
It's almost like she doesn't have any control over herself with that. I mean, all she does is sit there and work and make it everybody else's issue while they're trying to eat their turkeyless Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, it's turkey. It's just made by somebody else.
No, remember he didn't stop and get it, and now it's closed.
Oh, right. Right.
No turkey.
All right, well, they got plenty of wine, and they got some... no, that's the other family. That's the next half. but they got plenty of wine. So, Athena toasts to Noah for opening himself up to his abundance. How groovy... How much groovier can you get than that, Michelle?
That's pretty happy.
And then Eden, keeping a sharp eye on her social media, shares to everyone that a gossip article has been published on the Post. And she gives the opinion that this is the best thing that could happen. Now you can align yourself to the story of Descent. Like, it's actually true and true enough to be, like, gossipy and interesting to everyone.
Right.
And she thanks Allison, says, thanks to Allison, you finally have a personality, even as a rogue or as kind of a wild guy. Which is, like, the last thing Allison wants to hear from this pretty woman that's at her table, at her family's table, interrupting her Thanksgiving.
Well, yeah, and she says because personalities sell books, and like that's her thing.
Yeah, but, like wildness, though, like wild, crazy personalities.
Right.
And so Allison starts to contend the validity of the story in the book, and Eden just throws fuel on the fire here. Like, well, didn't you throw yourself at him? You did throw yourself at him, didn't you? Like, come on, man. At the dinner table? What good is that going to do?
It's not. But this is where Allison admits that she actually had read the book. Because somebody says to her, they say, well, you haven't even read the book. And she's like, yes, I've read the book. And Noah says, well, parts of it. And she goes, no, all of it.
Well, good for her.
Yeah, I mean, of course she's read it. I mean, I would think of course.
Well, so we learn that in the book, it's portrayed that Allison had thrown herself at Noah, that she's a drug-dealing psychopath, and that he killed her.
Yep.
That was the ending that what's the editor's name?
Harry.
Harry. I guess Harry wanted that ending to be left in.
Right.
Noah put it in originally, wanted to change it.
Right. Right. We thought he was talking about killing Scotty when he first started talking about the killing at the end of the book and that would be a problem, you know, after Scotty died. But it turns out it was Allison he killed.
I never thought that. I always knew it was Allison.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't know. I had no idea. All right. So Noah sees Allison finally privately, tries to apologize, tries to work his way out of this.
Yeah, that's all he's doing.
Tells her that Harry made him write the ending differently, and he offers to cancel the book tour. This is a loaded offer. He knows that she can't really take him up on it. Like, okay, yeah, I really would like you to cancel your whole book tour.
No, but they make her look stupid with this, okay? Because anybody with any sense would realize how he's manipulating her by saying that.
I'm saying that's obvious that he's just offering things up that he knows she'll never take him up on.
Right. He's not saying, let me work it out to get there later tomorrow and let's spend the rest of the holiday together. He's not offering up something reasonable. He's like, I'll just cancel everything and throw everything I want out the window for you. You know, I mean, it's grandiose and it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And she just says, do you want this baby? And does he answer? I don't think he answers, huh? It just kind of ends there.
No, he says, of course. He says, of course. And then he goes on to say that the book is a story, and this is his real life, and he kisses her belly and all that. So he does say that, but it's nothing feels genuine about that at all to me.
So we get it. This is the time jump. So we've kind of experienced a time jump now in the last... This whole season or in the last few episodes? I can't remember.
Every one, I think.
So the time jump is the color drained, again, the attorney's office, where through Allison's eyes, everything's color drained. But through the attorney's eyes, she's in full color. Pretty interesting different scene perspectives here.
Okay, I didn't even notice that.
It's
but, okay.
really just drained of any color and vibrancy of her view of the attorney. It's just dull, flat, right. Dull, no color. But when he's looking at her and she's in kind of a cornflower blue or powder blue dress, it's kind of rich and full color. It's really
okay,
interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I did notice how it drained with her, but I did not notice how it went back with him. So
he asks her or makes the statement or comment that you left the wedding before Scotty and asks her if you were on good terms with Scotty, and she says yes.
I thought it was Noah. I thought... Allison was telling that she left the wedding before Noah, not Scotty.
Oh, I thought it was before Scotty.
You might be right. I just wrote down Noah, so I don't know.
But I think then he asked if you were on good terms. Why would she ask if you were on good terms with Noah? And then she said, yes, I was on good terms with Scotty. And then anything wrong was wrong between Scotty and Cole. We were fine. So...
Okay.
And then she asks, like, well, do I need to be in court? And he says, you'll only be called if they need a character. If we need a character witness for Noah, we might call you.
Right.
And we know they will, right? We know that she's going to be in the court in the trial. It's got to be.
Yeah, I would think. Yeah.
All right, Michelle, that's it for part one. Part two is Cole. By the way, I like this episode. I haven't liked a lot of these episodes this year. I've been kind of pissing on them and being grumpy about them. But I did like this episode.
I did, too.
And part of the reason I really like Hot Luisa, man, that girl is hot. She's hot as a pistol. But sex with Luisa starts right out in part two here. And she drops a te amo on Cole right in the middle of them having sex.
Yep.
And dumb Cole doesn't either hear it or doesn't understand it, or he hears it perfectly and it affects him.
But yeah, he's
very distracted and says it's nothing. And you can never say it's nothing in the middle of a relationship or sex with somebody and just get away with like, oh, okay, it's nothing.
Yeah, you just stop see in what's the middle. On TV. Right. Mm-hmm.
So Luisa invites him to Queens for her Thanksgiving with her mom or her whatever, just to come see her mom. I think it was probably Thanksgiving, though.
It was, yeah. It's the same time period.
Well, Luisa's not American, so that's an interesting question. Like, do people that aren't American celebrate Thanksgiving?
Well, but she said that her mom got the day off because it was Thanksgiving, and so they're celebrating maybe, you know. I mean, it looked like a Thanksgiving party when, you know, but, yeah, that's...
It makes sense, too. I mean, if I was in America from another country, I'd celebrate the holiday that Americans had.
Yeah.
It's a pretty fun holiday. It's not like it's a bad thing, a hard thing to celebrate. But Cole says, no, I'm busy. And here in my notes, I have Luisa is freaking gorgeous.
Again, jonesing after all these characters in this episode, say that.
Well,
aren't you?
Luisa especially.
Luisa, Cole, Eden, Denise... Okay.
Well, not Eden. Eden would be bitchy. Luis is nice.
Okay, these are characters, though, and, like, there's actresses behind them that are actual women that are probably not like the characters.
I know. Okay. But the woman being portrayed by the woman actress who is Luisa is an attractive woman whole package. The other women, that other woman, Eden, would be a pain in the ass, even though she's really pretty.
Yeah, I agree.
But Cole is really dickish to Luisa.
Oh, he's horrible.
You don't know everything about me. You don't know everything about me, do you? Like, come on, man.
And it gets worse from there. I mean, that's the best he is.
And so she says, well, I told you I loved you and you lost your erection. And Cole doesn't want to talk about it. And I think this is where we get the time jump. On this side, right? Scotty calls him.
No, I don't think so. He talks about that he's starving. He won't talk about the love scene, but he says he's hungry. He's got to have muffins right now, and he walks out the door, and he ends up in the bake shop, and that's where Scotty is.
Yeah, but that's the time jump, right? In this,
no, it's not a time jump. He gets up and leaves her there. To go to the muffin shop to get muffins to take back to her.
Oh, right. So I must have put this in the wrong place.
That's okay.
All right, so you can correct me when we get to it. Yeah, because he's picking up more. Oh, that was another thing. Like, why is he picking up more coffee when Luisa hands him a cup of coffee and says it's hot? He's out going to get more coffee?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she doesn't make good coffee. Maybe it's leftover Peggy coffee.
I was trying to figure out a way, Michelle from Tennessee, to make a joke about when Luisa handed him the cup and says, it's hot. Like, you're damn right it's hot, baby.
Oh, gosh.
But I couldn't. Oh, and then he goes and gets more coffee. Mm-hmm. So it would have been an awkward joke. Not unlike the way I just remembered telling it to you.
Yeah.
So the phone rings. Cole looks at it like, oh, shit, I don't want to talk to this asshole. And then it's Scotty right behind him.
Have you ever had that happen?
No.
Somebody call you and you pick up your phone and you hang it up because you don't have time to talk and you're out somewhere and they're actually there.
When people call me, Michelle, I pick up the phone and talk to them.
I had that happen one time. I was going through the checkout at Sam's Club and I was getting a phone call and I was really busy. I had my little kids with me. And so I thought, well, I'll just call back in a second. So I hung it up and in a minute, the friend of mine came over and said, "Really?" It was very embarrassing. So it was like I was busy.
Did they drop a bitch please on you?
Kind of, yeah.
Really? Bitch, please.
But they forgave me. But it was pretty embarrassing, though.
All right, so Scotty knows that Allison has sold the house. And Scotty says, "I'm looking out for you, man. And I've got the tattoo to prove it." And shows him the lock with the heart.
Yeah.
And lame. Pretty lame. Cole lies. He's not going home for Thanksgiving because he's got other plans. And we find out he hasn't spoken to his mom for 6 months.
Yeah, I know.
That's pretty. Yeah. That seemed like new information.
Right.
So while he's begging off on Louisa not going because he has his obligation to his family in Montauk, he's begging off to Scotty that he can't go to Montauk because he's going to see Louisa.
Right.
For Thanksgiving. All right, now Oscar shows up in this, and Oscar's thin, man. Looks like he's lost some weight.
Yeah, and he's got like a little hairdo going and everything. Oscar's getting it together.
And they talk about Noah's book. So we're learning about Noah's book here by different characters. Noah's book has drugs in it, moonshine, and the feud with Oscar's family.
Oscar says he's the one who gave it to him. Gave it to Noah, this information.
Yeah. So is Oscar, I can't remember here, is Oscar talking to Scotty or Cole?
Both. They're both standing there.
They're still together. Mm-hmm. So Oscar warns them away from the lobster roll, I guess Scotty, or you're going to have a real estate attorney in your hair to deal with.
Right, because he says in the book, you know, basically all of the information about how they've made their money is in there, so stay away from the lobster roll because you're going to have somebody sniffing around your finances or whatever, if you don't.
And we've already found out that the lobster roll is switched to the Lockharts.
Right.
In our last episode or a couple episodes ago.
In the future, yeah.
Yeah, so Cole goes home now with those donuts and two coffees. And she's moved his picture. She's looked at his picture of him and Gabriel on the mantle and moved it to his dismay. And he tells her, he lies to her, "I want to be with my mom." And then he makes this up about the money clip, right? That I left my money clip here and it's not here. Did you take it? He just made that up to piss her off, right?
Oh my gosh, yes. Was that the most horrible thing? He accused her of stealing his money clip?
Well, this effective. She's like, "Fuck effective. You, I'm out of here." Yeah, that's what he wanted her to do, though. He just wanted her to leave.
Yeah, but, I mean, good grief. Ask her to leave. I mean, accusing her of stealing money? That was low. That was really, really bad.
Well, also,
and she even gives him a chance to apologize.
You don't take money out of your money. Your money clip isn't a 15-pound thing that it's hard to carry around. You don't take a 20 out of it and put it down and take the 20. You just take the money clip with you.
Well, as I watched it for the second time, of course, I noticed what he did with that. And he opened his, or took out his money clip and took some cash out of it and then stuck it back in his pocket. He didn't leave it on the table.
Right. That's what I just said.
You don't
do the premise that he portrayed to Louisa that I left it here and I only took the money out that I needed. It'd be like you taking money out of your purse and leaving it at home. You wouldn't. You would take your whole purse with you.
Right. Right.
That's my point.
Sure.
All right. So he goes to the bookstore. And I guess, yeah, he goes to the bookstore to get Noah's book, and he's studying it big time now, Michelle. He's reading it, dog ears a couple pages, taking notes. He's like checking this book out pretty intensely. And he gets some flowers to bring to Mama back at the old Montauk estate.
Flowers and moonshine. What more could you want?
And he finds out his sister-in-law, Mary Kate, has lost a baby.
He actually knew, but he just brings it up, yeah.
How did he know? I forgot that part.
Scotty told him when he was driving the taxi a while ago, yeah.
All right, so we have some pretty bad texting habits at both ends of this episode and during Thanksgiving dinner. They do the family prayer, and Scotty gets a text right in the middle of the prayer.
And he responds to it. I mean, it's not even like he doesn't just wait. I mean, it was a 30, 45 second prayer.
Or at least keep your phone like down on your lap so only you can see it and wait till the prayer's over and then respond if it's that hard to ignore. Don't hold your phone up at the table during the prayer. Anyway, I guess they had to do that for the television point of view, but it was silly.
I don't know. It was kind of reminiscent of Eden, right? And her inability to put her phone away.
I know. It's just boldly obnoxious. So we find out about Grandpa Silas now, Michelle. Grandpa Silas made moonshine for the old Lockhart family back in the day.
Yep.
And they're doing a toast. It looks like they do it every year. They pour a little into the lid of the jar of moonshine, and they go around and they each make a toast. Caleb starts by saying, "Here's my toast. I'm glad Cole's here, finally, coming back to the family." It's neat how they do this little ceremony, I thought, handing a jar around and each making up a toast. Cole makes a toast to Noah's book.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, why did I get the name Reinhardt? Silas Reinhardt, which was it Lockhart spelled wrong? I don't know. For some reason, I have the name Silas Reinhardt, that's what he did. He changed in the book. He changed Lockhart to Reinhardt. Noah's book changed their name.
Right.
And in the book, they're portrayed as low-life drug dealers, and Grandpa Silas was the bootlegging entrepreneur who got the whole thing started way back. And Cole reads a few passages from the book about how the brothers kept their summer guests high on cocaine, and the boys were murderous. They were like their murderous grandfather, and they started the feud with the Hodges family, Oscar's family, Thomas Hodges' grandfather or somebody important back in the old...
Yeah, but wasn't that cool what we finally found out and found out how this or why this kind of family feud had went on for so long?
So Noah got this all from...
From Oscar.
All of it or some of it?
He got all of it.
How would Oscar know all this just off the top of his head?
Because Oscar's family wasn't ashamed of what happened.
Yeah, but not everybody knows everything about their family like this. Do you know this about your family? If you had to, if you wanted to share it with somebody, would you know all this about
How would you know? I mean, how do you know what you know about your family? You only know what you know. There could always be stuff you don't know. But Oscar knew what went on, I think is the point. Oscar knew about the atrocities of Grandpa Silas, and the Reinhardt boys didn't.
Yeah, so we learned some more.
Lockhart, sorry. I'm getting Gearhart and Reinhardt and Lockhart all mixed up now. Okay, sorry.
So we learned some more. Cole calls Noah a parasite, and Cherry stops him and says, "Well, wait a second, this was all true."
Mm-hmm.
There was a baby named Eamon, and the grandfather was such a terrible person that he beat the children. He was just a horrible guy. And when the grandmother had an affair with Thomas Hodges, I guess Oscar's grandfather, and got pregnant with Eamon, the grandfather, Silas, drowned that baby.
Yep.
So another drowning reference.
I know.
And because of all that, the Hodges torched Silas's land for revenge. So there's been a pretty long-running feud between the Hodgeses and the Lockharts, Earharts, whatever.
Yeah. My question would be, you ask, how would Oscar know? I would ask, how would, in this small community, how would Cole and Scotty and Caleb know? How would they not know? How could you keep something just that many generations, just like really a generation you can almost touch back? How would you not know that about what had happened? Cherry really kept the lid on that because she didn't want... Because this is where she starts in that the family's cursed.
Yeah, I guess my point in asking is that a writer Noah would research this. If he wanted, if this interested him, this Montauk like area and the people there, he would be able to do research and find this out.
I don't think he wants to know. Yeah, but see, I don't think that's what Noah wanted to do. I think Noah wanted to destroy Cole, and I think that's all. I don't think he really had an interest in getting the truth of anything out. I think he just wanted to make Cole sound as bad as he could, and he was able to do that based on the things that the information Oscar gave him, which turned out to be true.
All right, well, that's a good point. Cole doesn't want to believe Cherry, and Cherry just continues on. Our family's cursed by all these sins of our father. Gabriel got cursed and drowned. I mean, part of that curse, Gabriel drowned, and then Scotty and Whitney's baby isn't alive. And now Mary Kate's baby isn't alive. It's all a curse, and these are the sons. And so there's the Lockhart family is like locked down from progeny being like from continuing on. Their name's going to die out.
And she's worried about Cole hanging himself. Where does that come from?
I don't know. Where did that comment come from?
I wrote it down. I can't remember exactly what she said, but I wrote down Cherry's worried Cole is going to hang himself. And she made the comment that, I guess because somebody hung themselves, and I can't remember who she said now, and the last time she saw someone that bad, that's what had happened, is that they had hung themselves. Someone as distraught as Cole is.
Okay. So Cole leaves and Scotty rushes after him.
Yeah.
And Scotty just says, look, man, we need you. We need your money to keep this family together. Pretty blatant just admission that we need your money.
He's pretty persistent. You'll have to give Scotty that.
And then Whitney shows up. Whitney's showing up everywhere left and right. And it turns out it was her text to Scotty that interrupted the dinner prayer. And she's taken the train out there, which isn't the first time. And Cole stops her from getting close to Scotty. He kind of holds her back while Scotty drives off. I guess there's a restraining order.
Yeah, because Scotty's going to go to jail if he doesn't. He can't be around her, and so here she's coming out there, and, you know, she's doing that pitch a toddler tantrum fit again, and as Scotty drives off, and then she just kind of backs down and breaks down, and my heart really went out to Whitney in this episode.
Well, they drive off in silence. Cole's taking her back to the city. They drive in silence until Whitney says, remember the time you tried to kill me by pulling it? So it's like we were joking about this. Like she's remembering it a little bit inaccurately here.
Right.
And then Cole clears it up for her and says, it was pointed at your father to be, you know, to clear that all up. And
I know, but she even says, well, I remember it differently.
Yeah. So what POV did we see that in? Do you remember? Was it Cole? Couldn't have been. Because Cole would have remembered it accurately. Allison? It had to be Cole, Allison.
We didn't
Helen,
see this pointed at Whitney's head anywhere.
I know, but we heard it before, when Whitney said it before in another episode.
Right. All we saw in season one was Allison.
I know. Don't pound your microphone. You're pounding something.
Really?
Yeah, you're okay. Like, all we found in season one.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding? You know what I was doing? Seriously? I've got a paper clip, and I was touching my paper with it.
Yeah, okay. Well, these microphones pick up everything. Jamie does that, too. I got to tell her not to do it.
Yeah, that's bad. Sorry. In season one, we only saw Allison and Noah's perspective.
I know, but a couple episodes ago, we heard this Whitney's story in one of the four POVs that you pointed the gun at me and tried to kill me.
I think it was Helen's.
Yeah, it was Helen because they were at the apartment or something.
Right, at the brownstone, yeah.
All right. So you lost me when I pounded my microphone there.
Sorry.
So Cole says, no, it was pointed at your father, just to clarify. And then he apologizes but tells her, come on, leave Scotty alone. And Whitney says, well, I really care about him, and I think he cares about me. Come on, man. She's just teenage-y, right? She's just wrong about all this. And Cole says, just because you love somebody doesn't mean they have to love you back. A little slap of cold water in Whitney's face.
Yeah, that was sad. That was really sad. And the part where Cole asks where she's supposed to be right now, and she says she doesn't know. That was really sad.
And also, she's not even in Noah's book. Everyone, all these other people.
Man,
are.
I know. I mean, who would want to be in that book? I don't think he named very many people in a real positive light. But it really hurt her.
So, yeah, she feels unimportant.
Yep.
So we find out from Cole his father hung himself on his 10th birthday.
Jeez, I know.
And we hear the drowning reference again. He just says, my father was just drowning.
Right.
Drowning in sadness or whatever. So they show up now, Cole and Whitney. Man, these Thanksgivings are eventful. I mean, some Thanksgiving people would probably invite these interesting distractions. But they show up at Noah's Thanksgiving, and Cole and Noah talk at the doorway. And they're trying to be civil, I guess. Noah says, I don't know what that kid's trying to prove. And Cole just says she thinks she's in love. And I think the allegory there is like, she just thinks she's in love. Isn't that like Cole almost saying, like, Allison thinks she's in love with you? Like, kids in love, what do they know? Like
right,
beyond
right.
their capacity to understand how stupid they're acting.
Yeah, I totally got that, too. Like Allison thinks she's in love, and look at all the stupid things she's done
right.
because of it. Yeah.
Right, so it's coded for all that. Noah offers Cole a drink. Cole declines, and Noah says, oh, thank God.
But what a good guy Cole is. I mean, really? To carry her home like that?
Well, Noah, he's being civil. They're both being civil. What are you going to leave a poor 17-year-old girl stuck 100 miles from home?
Well, she took the train there.
I mean,
he could have taken her back to the train station
night,
or something.
I'd have taken her back and wouldn't think it's a super-duper offer.
I think it's pretty nice considering what he had to go, you know, the place he had to go to take her.
He's got nothing else to do. His dinner's over. It's just responsible.
It is responsible, but it was gentlemanly, and I liked it.
I think if you offer it to a stranger, like an adult woman or adult guy, hey, I'll give you a ride. Then that's super super nice. I think if it's a teenage girl and she's like kind of susceptible to being victimized, I think that's responsibility.
Girl who just has been telling lies even on
you? Yeah, even so.
Okay.
All right, Cole goes to Louise's now with the wine, and he offers her an apology, tells her he found his wallet. Don't worry, baby, found my wallet. You're off the hook.
Yep.
No, just kidding.
No.
But he did all this, and I guess he tells her this, that he was used to being alone, and he was trying to hurt her and get her to leave because that's what he was used to. And at least I'm telling you now, I might not be good for very much, but I'm good for my word, and I'll do my best to try to be better.
Yeah.
And he says, te amo también. I love you too. And they kiss.
Yep.
Is that where
Which I wrote as kill as I was typing, and then I put down what a Freudian slip that, you know, was. But, yeah.
Any tears there in the Michelle from Tennessee family, Michelle?
No. No.
All right, just checking.
I'm not that invested in their relationship.
Yeah, right.
I'm not.
Oh, man, their relationship, okay.
Their relationship, yeah.
All right, we go to the lawyer's computer now. There's no audio, but there's a video file. And that is Scotty and Allison?
Yes.
I had to look and see who the woman was. I tried to see who it was, but I just made a wild guess. It's Allison. And the lawyer says, well, we can't get audio, but I'd really like to know what he's saying. And across the room, Oscar's counting his stack.
Yep.
He says, well, I can tell you for another stack. I was 20 feet outside, 20 feet away outside having a smoke. And the lawyer says, what's he asking or what's he saying? And the lawyer and Oscar says, that'll cost you. And the lawyer says, look, dude, I'll just subpoena you. And Oscar tells them that what was said is, that's our baby.
Yep.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know.
Allison's screwing around with Scotty now?
You know, a lot of people have written that, and, I mean, written it like as fact, and I'm not convinced that was it, although it would really, the puzzle pieces fit so good that I see why you think so. Because, for one, Cole is sleeping with Louisa, which ticks Scotty off. So what better way for Scotty to get back at Cole? And Allison has admitted to this reckless behavior. So, and sex is a reckless behavior. So that would certainly be a reckless thing. But we do know that she slept with Cole. I'm not convinced. He did say, that's our baby. But I'm not convinced that he wasn't saying, as in, that's a Lockhart baby. Because remember, he came to the house and saw her there with Cole coming outside with the bed sheets wrapped around her.
So what are you saying, that she's lying to Scotty? Or that...
Yeah, I think she was telling Scotty there that that was Noah's baby. And he was saying, that's our baby. Meaning a Lockhart baby is what I thought. But I've read so many people say that they think it's Scotty's baby that could be, but I'm still leaning toward Cole's baby, a Lockhart baby, in place of his own baby. What did you think?
Maybe it's Bruce's baby. Because Allison slept with everybody in this whole series.
It could be Bruce's
baby. Let's go down the sheet, Michelle.
Oscar?
She slept with Cole.
Yeah.
She slept with Noah.
Yep.
She slept with Oscar.
Yep.
She slept with Max. She slept with...
No. When did she sleep with Max?
Didn't she sleep with Max?
No. No, Allison hadn't slept with Max, has she?
All right, maybe not. She slept with Scotty.
I don't know about that. Maybe. There's a potential for
Scotty. Maybe I'm mixing up Oscar and Max again. Those two guys are just on different ends of the economic spectrum, but they're the same guy. If Oscar had Max's money, he would be Max.
Yeah. Yeah,
all right.
I totally see.
So she slept with too many people, though. Right? She slept with a bunch of people.
Yep.
All right. So, well, what the heck, Michelle? Next week is entitled 208. they just don't have titles. So 208, 209, 210, three left.
I know.
This is actually, they've done a pretty good job for stretching this stupid idea of an affair into a whole second season. Like, it is still pretty interesting.
It's really interesting. I think some people are, because I haven't yet listened to podcasts about it, but I have, in trying to figure out some things, read a couple things, and some people like comments on things, and some people are getting frustrated that they feel like it's being drawn out a little bit. But... You know, I just don't see it like that. I think it's you can't please everybody, and you have to develop this and make us care about this. And right now, when I heard Oscar saying what Scotty said to Allison about it's our baby, I cared about that, and they just completely sucked me into that. So I don't think it's been drawn out really at all. I wish it were longer. I wish we got more of the story, actually, than we get. But I think it's a great story and great storytelling.
Just think of how much trouble the Soloway family could have avoided if, instead of going to Montauk, they had only gone to the swamps of Florida like your family does.
Or Hawaii, or anywhere.
They would have never met Allison. Whitney would have never been pregnant with Scotty.
I know.
Any
but this,
this
story would have been so
Max
much shorter.
Max would have met Helen, I guess, already.
Yeah, they knew each other from college. But, you know, I keep thinking I couldn't like Noah less. And every week, I like him less. Every week, the only time I like Noah at all is when I see him through Helen. And then sometimes I like what she says about him.
Yeah, I guess we saw everybody but Helen in this one, huh?
Yep.
Thank God we saw none of the neighbors in Cold River. I don't like those two.
Who?
See? You don't like
Yvonne and Rich. Was it Richard?
Richard and his fake dog murder. All right, Michelle, 207, 208
yep.
is next week. And I guess we'll have to do it before. I was going to say Happy Thanksgiving, but we're so late on this one that we're about to do 208 freaking a day and a half from now.
It comes on tomorrow, I know. We'll so, be doing it Monday, or Tuesday, hopefully.
So sorry, everybody. I'll get this one out, and we'll try to stay on track.
Yep.
All right, Michelle, we'll have a good day and a half, and I'll talk to you for 208, and then we'll say Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, we'll say it then.
All right, see you then.
Okay, Mike.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And all the misery. You were an easy one. How did we get here? We took the slow way. Oh, do you love me? What am I supposed to say? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
This, probably. How about you?
I've done a lot of things.
We fell into the night. Sometimes the way you love somebody, it can change.
I don't want her anywhere near my kids.
Your mom and I, we're getting a divorce.
Why?
That's very complicated. How have you been, Allison?
I don't think you should be here. I think you should leave. Tell me
how
I
sleep. Helen, what's going on? This is insane.
Why are you being so awful?
I just thought maybe I could come up here and bring you your stuff and maybe clear the air.